heard there a little bit earlier about, you know, as far as the this nation goes. But let me tell you something. I say it all the time, so you'll get tired of hearing me say this. It's going to wax worse and worse. If you're looking for it to get better, it's not. Not across this world, not in this nation, and that's not being a downer. That's just what the Bible tells us is going to happen. But this is what it tells us for Christians right here. If you go to the book of Philippians, and about the 13th or 14th verse, and I'm not preaching on this morning, but I'm going to give you something that the Lord just showed to me on this, if you don't care. Start about the 13th. It says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring or disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke." Now get this, "in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation." That's us. Are you born again here this morning? Because if you're saved, if you're bought by the blood, he's telling us to keep on keeping on. No matter what happens in this nation, that shouldn't have any effect on what you and I continue to do for him. Can I have an amen? Amen. In a perverse and crooked nation. And it goes on to say this. It said, "among whom ye shine as lights in the world." That's it. That's what we are supposed to do. We are supposed to keep on keeping on until the Lord comes back and takes us either as individuals or takes us as a church. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, I believe that this morning. All right. Now to get into the sermon here this morning. Praise God for this. I'm still over in the Old Testament. Sorry, folks. The Lord just keeps just... I've just been there. I've been wanting to get out of that, but it just seems like he's just been pushing me that direction. And I will be preaching on something this morning that I know it was been mentioned. It was mentioned in the class, and I love to have that when I have confirmation on it. My sermon title is just simple and plain. It's called Hell. I'm going to be preaching on hell this morning. The Lord had given me this, and I want to preach on it this morning. I want to preach on what is there. And I hope and pray no one here ever experiences this, but I'm here to tell you this morning, I said, I cannot guarantee, I don't know your hearts this morning, I don't know your souls this morning, I don't know why God directed me down this path, but that's what we will be preaching on this morning. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 33, if you wouldn't care, please. Isaiah 33, we're going to begin with about the 13th verse, and I'll read down a little bit. When you get there, please, let's stand. If you're able to stand this morning, and let's read God in honor of God's word here this morning. Let's do that, please. Isaiah 33, verse 13. "Hear ye that ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burning? He that walketh uprightly and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of the oppression and shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ear from hearing of blood and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the nations of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His water shall be sure." Let us pray. Father, we come, Lord, this morning. I come, Lord. I pray, Father, this morning, Lord, that you would just anoint my lips this morning. I pray, Father, that the message would go out the way that you would have it to go out, Lord. Lord, there's no good in me. I understand that, Lord. There's nothing in me, Lord, that can preach this only through you, through the anointing, Father. I pray for that. Lord, I pray for the hearts that are here this morning. I pray that you would go out with them, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you would open up their understanding, Lord. And we will give you the praise for it all. And amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Thank you. The first thing I want to tell you this morning, if you end up in hell, you will be an intruder. You will be an intruder because it was never, ever intended for you. We know that from the scripture. It was never intended for you. Matthew 25:41 tells us this. "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, and unto everlasting fire, prepared for who? It was prepared for the devil and his angels. When hell was preferred, whenever hell was first put into being, it was not intended for us. But brothers and sisters, because of what happened, because of man's wickedness, because man sinned, then it became a place where they were going to be sent. And if you go there, it's because you intentionally want to go there. I want to say something to you this morning. I hope you understand. God will never send anybody to hell. Do you understand that this morning? God never sends anybody to hell. If you go to hell, it's because you intentionally, you send yourself there. You do. Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. If you go to hell, if you end up in that place, it is because you deliberately go there, because you walk across the blood, because you do not take the finished work of the cross. That is why you will go to hell. It'll be your fault. Make no mistake about that this morning. Make none. If you or anyone else ends up there, it's nobody's fault but yourself. If you or anyone else ends up there in hell, it is because you have rejected the finished work of Jesus Christ. I want to get that out first thing this morning. I want to say that up front. You remember in Luke chapter 16, Jesus sent the 70 out. He said and told them, the harvest truly is great, but the labors are few. And then he warned them, there will be those who reject the message. It is sad to say this, but in churches all across this land, whether this morning or down, there are people that will hear messages this morning that will reject the message of the gospel. They will walk out of the church, or they will be, or there will be somebody witness to them, or somebody will teach to them, or they will come across a tract or something. But somewhere along the way, they will reject the message of the gospel. And he said, and he goes on to, he said, and it would be more, listen to this, tolerable at the judgment for Sodom for the cities that reject these messages. We know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. We know how that God destroyed that. Anybody that rejects the message of the gospel, it would have been more tolerable for Sodom. It's going to be more tolerable upon Sodom than it is upon you. Why? Because you know, we know about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has been preached. The gospel has been preached. He has made a way. If you go across that, you go across it on your own. In verse 16, Luke 10:16, and he that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. Ultimately, if you reject the gospel, you are spitting in the face of God. That is exactly what you're doing. If you end up in hell, you are the one who made that choice for yourself. Across the whole spectrum of religion. Now, I'm going to talk about some things right now. Across everything and theology, there's a lot of different opinions about hell. And I'm going to give you each one of them, What counts is not what their opinions are, not what counts, not my opinion this morning. What counts is what thus saith the Word of God. There are those who believe hell is simply a state of mind. You're going to hear that out there. It's out there today. It's not a literally real place. It's what you face and experience on this earth. What they say, Belinda, is it's hell on earth. What you're experiencing right now, that's what they believe. There are people out there, Scientology teaches that. Scientology tells you that. That you know what? It's all in your mind. It's what hell is what you experience down here. I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to just be blunt with you. No matter what you've went through down here on this earth, it will be nothing compared to what will happen in hell. Each person will experience their own heaven, their own hell while they're on this earth. The second line of thought that I wrote down as I caught this in, I got to thinking about it. There are those who believe there is no hell, and they teach that at death, that is complete non-existence after that. That's what they say. So the wicked do not suffer after death. There's those that teach that. Jehovah Witness will teach that. Number three, there's still others believe that since Jesus died for the whole world, then everyone ultimately will be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, right? But it goes on to say that whosoever believes. They believe that, and this is the Christian Universalist, this is what they believe. This is part of their statement of faith. And I'm going to read it to you so you think that I'm just not pulling stuff out of the air. Here it is. We believe in the ultimate triumph of divine mercy and grace that no being ever created will be condemned to suffer forever, but God has arranged through a benevolent plan of learning and growth for all souls to attain salvation. Reconciliation, restoration, and reunion with the source of all being in the fullness of the ages. Brother, they believe everybody will be saved in the end. But my Bible doesn't teach that. My Bible does not teach that. Still others believe and have thought about purgatory. What's purgatory? It's a place where the soul goes to after death to be made ready for heaven. So when you die, even if you were bad, you get a second chance. You're in purgatory for a while, and you get, because of God's grace, you'll be able to make it through because of that. Now, the Roman Catholics teach that. Now, I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, I have family that were Catholic, and they believed that. So I'm just not here just pulling stuff out of the air again. Now, what about individuals? I guarantee you I could go to different churches, and I guarantee you there would be individuals at different churches that have different ideas about hell. Hell is just a myth, some will tell you. It's meant to frighten people into obedience. You'll hear that. Oh, hell's just a myth. Those preachers that preach that, they just want your money and they just want to have control over you. Hell is just what you suffer here on earth. As I said, like a Scientologist. Hell is a place of complete annihilation. You hear that. And the wicked won't ever suffer there. God is too good to send anybody to a place like that. In the end, everybody's saved. And this is what the fifth one, this is least but not last. This is what I believe the Bible teaches. Hell is a literal place, and everyone who does not accept Jesus into their lives will end up in that place. Now, it's not important what men think. Again, I'm going to tell you this. It's not important what I think. It's important, but what the Bible says. Now, let's look at what the Bible teaches us about hell. And let's put it into some applications here. Most of you know that have been in church for any length of time, you've heard that Jesus mentions hell more than He mentions heaven in the Gospels. You've heard that, right? Okay. Is that true or is that false? Has anybody looked it up? Has anybody even checked onto it? Well, if you look, it's yes and no. Yes and no, because if you just look at the literal world hell, the literal word hell, no. But if you look at everything that translates out to hell, it is mentioned, Jesus mentions it 56 times in the gospel, compared to 24 times He talks about heaven. So yes, it is more than double the time that He talks of hell. That should make you take notice right there. If you're studying in here this morning and you realize that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ mentions that twice as much as He does heaven, He doesn't want anybody to go there. Amen. He did not want anybody to go there. The Son of God is laying out a warning, is what He's doing to everyone. I believe what the Bible and what Jesus teaches us about hell. I believe that here this morning. I want you to understand this, hell is not the final destination for the lost. Did you know that? Hell is not the final destination for the lost. Hell is just a holding place. Revelations 20, 11 and 14. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face, the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Hell's just a holding place. It's a holding place for the condemned. That this will take place after the 1,000-year reign. This will take place after the millennium. This is when the great white throne judgment will take place here on this earth. So just keep that in mind. If your name is not found in the book of life at this time, you will be judged out of the books of works. And brothers and sisters, you do not want to not have your name found in the book of life. There is one book of life and many books of works, and the lost will be judged out of them. Get this. Everything that you've ever said, ever done, ever thought will be recorded and brought to light at that time if your name has not been found in the book of life. Everything. And it will be, the whole world will know it. Jesus said in Luke 12, 2 and 3, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which has spoken in the ears in the closet shall be proclaimed," where? On the housetop. Everything. Everything. Understand that. Something else I want you to notice in Revelation 20:13. If you would turn there, please. We're going to read this together because this is important. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." Now get this, the sea gave up the dead and hell delivered up the dead. There are two different words used here for the dead. And this is important, I want you to understand this. There's a reason for it. Thanatos and nekatox. There's two different words used there. Let me show you. I was going to have it up on the screen this morning, but we did not get it on there, but I want to talk to you about it. "And the sea gave up the dead," which is nekatos. That equals the physical body. The sea gave up the body. Now what else does it say? And it said, "which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the thanatos," which was the soul. You can mark that in your Bibles. "Which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their work." So what is it saying? What is it saying right here? The wicked one day will be resurrected as well. That's what it's saying. The wicked will be resurrected, and they will be united with their soul. They will be judged and sent to a place of eternal torment other than hell, the lake of fire. Understand that this morning. That's what it's trying to say. There's going to be more than just one resurrection here. "And they shall stand judgment before God because their names were not found in the book of life. They're thrown into the lake of fire. Everyone will be resurrected one day. There will be a resurrection and eternal life, and there will be a resurrection and eternal damnation one day." God takes this serious. My Bible doesn't tell me that everybody makes it in the end. My Bible doesn't tell me that everybody's going to heaven in the end. My Bible tells me that if you are not born again, if you are not bought by the blood on the day that you pass out of this world or the day that Jesus come back to get his church, you are lost and eternally lost. Everyone, either lost or saved, will be resurrected to receive a reward or a punishment for which they have done. 2 Corinthians 5:10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive of the things done in this body, according to that he hath done, whether it be what? Whether it be good or whether it be bad. 2 Corinthians 5:11 should be the biggest reason we should want to witness. If you go down one more, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, what should we do? It said we should persuade men. Brothers and sisters, if you believe that there's a heaven, if you believe there's a hell that needs the people, you should be wanting to persuade as many people as you want, as you can, that they need to stay out of this place of torment. They need to stay out of this place where brother said, we're going to get into here in a little bit, what it consists of. You think, well, the New Testament, that's where it's at. Well, the Old Testament talks about this too, whether you know it or not. Turn to Daniel knew something was going to happen. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it said, we'll go there first. For the Lord, Daniel 12:2, let's go there. I want to read it first, and then I'll get down to that. Daniel 12:2. Of many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. See, it wasn't just something that just appeared in the New Testament. The Bible talks about it from the time of Genesis right up through to Revelation. There is going to be a judgment one day. Notice, it says in Daniel, many, not all. Many of them that sleep in the dust and the earth shall awake. I thought you said, Dave, everybody's going to be resurrected. But you know what he's talking about there? He's talking about the rapture. Daniel knew what was going to take place. Daniel knew that there was going to be a rapture. And those people that are not in the ground, those people that are not dead, they're going to be called up to meet the Lord in the air one day. That's why he said many. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Can I have an amen? Amen. Isn't that awesome? 1 Corinthians 15:51-53, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. For we shall, sleep means dead there, by the way. We're not all going to be dead. But we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Daniel seen the rapture in his day. And praise God, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised to see the rapture in my day one day. Amen? Because I believe the Lord's coming back. I believe that it's set up. I believe that the wickedness of this world is becoming great as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be the coming of the Lord. And this analogy is not real, real good. I know it's not. But hell is like being put in jail until you're sent to prison. Neither one of them's good. Amen? It's a horrible place. And it's only going to get worse when you reach the final destination. Look at what Paul tells us about hell. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, this is when he comes back to get his church, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Underline the words everlasting destruction in your Bibles if you want. It means everlasting ruin is what it means. What Paul is telling the Thessalonians, if you end up there, everything you've ever worked for, everything that you've ever strived for, everything that you've ever lived for is gone forever. Your health, your wealth, everything, no more. It's gone. Your freedom, your loved ones. your hope, everything is gone, and you'll be shut out from being with the Lord and the glory of His angels. But does it mean God and Jesus will not know what's going on in hell? Absolutely not. Let me give you some food for thought. Turn to Revelations 4, 10, 11 again. Say amen when you get there, please.
Amen.
The same Revelations 14, 10, and 11. Sorry, I'm sorry. Yell at me if you do not hear what I'm saying. My wife's not here today to do it. So, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of His indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone, get this, in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Did you know that? God's going to watch all this. Jesus is going to watch all this. And you're saying, well, why? Because he made a way and those people didn't want to accept it. And the smoke of their torment, get this, ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. What did the psalmist say over 139:8? You know this one. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I ascend, I believe of all the greatest punishments of hell. This is me, and I've said this before. For those in hell who ultimately end up in the lake of fire, they'll be able to look and see the joys of heaven. They will. They'll be able to see the joys of heaven. They'll see Jesus sitting on the right hand of God, the one that they've rejected. They will see that. They'll be seeing all those who have bowed down and are worshiping God around the throne. They'll see that. They'll see seeing what John saw. Yes, they will. And they seeing the ones who they tried to tell them about heaven and hell. They'll see those as they come into glory. They're seeing their loved ones who made it. They are crying out in repentance from hell. And they are praying the biggest prayer and most sincere prayer that you will ever hear will come from the pits of hell. Yes, it will. It's too late. Yes, they will. They'll be crying out. They'll be praying from hell. Yes, they will. They'll be begging for someone to warn others on this earth. We know that from Scripture. We'll get to that here in a little bit. But it will do no good. That's what the Bible tells us. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. If the Lord is dealing with you spiritually, you need to not walk to an altar. You need to run to an altar. Just like in heaven, in hell, you'll have all five of your senses. I'm going to say some stuff here. I don't know what you think about this. You're going to have sight, hearing, touch, smell, and you're going to have taste. And I believe that they will be all perfect in hell. Every one of them. Those who could not hear will be able to hear. Those that could not see will be able to see. Those who could not walk will be able to walk. Those who could not smell will be able to smell perfectly in hell. You'll say, what's that mean? Revelations 14:10 tells us, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. Brimstone, sulfur. The smell of sulfur and of burning flesh will be all over hell. But nothing is burned up. Nothing. Your taste will be perfect. Always thirsty, never able to be quenched. I believe every disease known to mankind and to humankind will be in hell. but no cures. Why do I believe that? Because hell is just the exact opposite of heaven. Absolutely. Absolutely. Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears. There are going to be a lot of tears in hell from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. Death, spiritual death will be in hell. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are all passed away. That's not what it's going to be like in hell, brother. That's what he's talking about heaven there. Let's look at some very familiar scriptures. In Luke 16, 22 through 23, I know you know this scripture. Luke 16, 22, and I'm going to read down through even farther than that. It's going to go down to about 31, so just bear with me on it. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, and for I am tormented into flames. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us. They would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send to my father's house. Brothers and sisters, the people in hell believe in personal evangelism, by the way. They believe in it right here. For I have five brethren, and he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses, if they hear not the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. One has rose from the dead, and there are a lot of people that aren't persuaded. There's a lot of people that do not accept the finished work of Jesus Christ. None. I mean, there's a bunch of... Just look around today and tell me that you see the altars flooded with people trying to get in church, trying to accept Jesus as their Savior. The rich man could still see. He saw the beggar. He's being comforted, right? He's seen him. I believe those in hell can see into heaven right now. I believe they can. The rich man could hear. Abraham talked to him, explained to him why he was in hell. I believe that if you end up in hell, you will be told about why you ended up there, and you will relive it every minute of every day. You'll be before you. Well, you didn't listen to that preacher. You didn't listen to the teaching. You didn't listen to your aunt or your grandmother. You didn't listen to your mom. That will be flashed before you. That will come to your mind every single day that you're in hell. It will. I believe when someone gets saved in heaven, you're going to know it in hell. Why? Luke 15:10, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner that repenteth. And I believe that they will be able to look into heaven and they will see that, and they will see the joy that's going on in heaven of somebody that's gotten saved, and they will live that out in their lives. There will be a different kind of noise heard when someone goes into hell, though. Luke 13:28, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but yourself thrust out. You see what it's saying? There's looking into heaven. He still had his mind. He was thinking, how can I get out of here? How can I warn others about this place? Also, his mind was never going to find rest. We talk to people, we hear people talking about today, how that their minds will never rest, how that their minds never seem to rest. Brother said, whenever you're there, your mind will never rest. And you also something else I think we know? I think in hell you'll be known as you're known, just like you are in heaven. Absolutely. I believe you will be known as you're known. The rich guy knew who the beggar was and called him by name, Lazarus, right? You hear folks say all the time, I'll have plenty of company in hell. I'll have plenty of company. I'll have plenty of friends in hell. Yeah, you will, probably. Maybe, hopefully not, but you may one of these days. And if you have those friends and they end up in hell with you, they're going to know you. They're going to curse at you. They're going to curse at God. Matthew 25:30, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Those of you that know what that join you in hell will be cursing you, will be cursing God, will be cursing everyone. Say, why didn't you warn us? And they have been warned. The Bible tells us everyone will be warned. He could still feel pain, but there was no relief for the pain. I say this, and I know and some people think there are people who have suffered with cancer, and you've seen them suffer with cancer. And some of them went out of this world and never knew Jesus, but they've suffered with cancer. And they think, and I've heard people say, well, they've got relief now. And I thought to myself, if you went out of this world without Jesus Christ in your life, you do not have relief. You do not have relief. Hell will never be filled up. Did you know that? Isaiah 5:14, therefore hell has enlarged itself, enlarged herself. Let me say it right. Opened her mouth without measure. Their glory and their multitude and their pomp, he that rejoices shall descend into it. You know something that is extremely sad? Jesus said the majority of humanity is going to end up there. Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And how's he end that up saying? Many there be which go thereat. Many that be that go thereat. Hell's a terrible place. Am I right? Hell is a terrible place. I don't want to leave you there with that. I don't want to scare you, but if it scares you into accepting Jesus as your Savior, that's fine. Revelations 20. You all know the scripture. Revelation 21, I'm sorry. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And I love this. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and they are faithful. If you're born again here this morning, that's what you got awaiting you. That's what you got awaiting you. And I can tell you, it isn't just for the... Jesus didn't die just for the select. He just didn't die for the few. Whosoever will. But there are people that won't take that opportunity. They won't. And if they don't take that opportunity, my heart breaks. I don't stand up here and just and preach about this and think, oh boy, yeah, they're going to get theirs. I have never, ever preached it like that. Because you know what? I deserved it one day. Greg deserved it one day. Olita deserved it one day. But thank the good Lord that Jesus Christ died on the cross that you and I don't. He took it for us. He took it. And He's doing that this morning. He's still doing that this morning. We're still in the day of grace. We're still in the dispensation of grace today. But I'm telling you, that dispensation is going to end. And when it does, Lord, help those left here. But let's get a song. Blender or Julie, whoever. Blender, go ahead, please. If you have a need this morning, this altar is open. Please come.